The freezing temperatures last week confirmed it. Summer is leaving us behind as it heads toward the southern hemisphere, and winter will soon be in place. As a result, certain shifts naturally take place, especially with respect to things that we put on. Short-sleeved summer shirts will give way to clothing of thicker fabric. Sandals might get shoved to the side in favor of footwear that's more protective. Bottles of sunscreen will get put back into the cabinet. Or will they? Not if you are someone who enjoys outdoor winter sports and who follows what the Skin Cancer Foundation has to say. According to its website, winter sports enthusiasts are at increased risk for overexposure to the sun's ultraviolet UV radiation. UV rays can be every bit as damaging on the slopes as on the beach. And so it advises, use a broad spectrum sunscreen with an SPF, sun protection factor, of 30 or higher. Apply sunscreen liberally to all exposed skin, etc. And apparently, the danger from UV rays is increasing as tears in the ozone layer occur, enabling those UV rays to reach us. There are, therefore, two significant sides to the sun, so to speak. On the one hand, we need it. We can't live without the sun. On the other hand, its rays have the ability to do damage and even kill. Sound like anything else you know? God, perhaps? We need God to live. In Him we live, says Scripture. But there's also the destructive side of God from which we need protection, for which we need some type of spiritual sunscreen. Fortunately, there is something that can protect the soul against the destructive rays of God's judgment, just as there is sunscreen to protect our skin from UV rays. But before reading the text that reveals what that item is, let me develop the analogy a little further. It's really not that much of a stretch to draw a parallel between the Lord of heaven and the sun in the sky. The book of Hebrews states that our God is a consuming fire. And the prophet Malachi declared that he is like a refiner's fire. God is holy, which means that he does not allow for things that are imperfect or impure. It means that anything which is imperfect is consumed in his presence, just as impurity is removed in the fiery cauldrons of metal refineries. Only that which is holy, pure, and righteous will survive in the presence of the holy, holy, holy God. This wasn't a problem when the world was first made. For God made everything perfect and holy. He designed the human race to be able to be in his presence comfortably and converse frequently and peaceably. Just as God protected man at creation from dangerous rays from the sun by supplying a variety of layers, protective layers such as ozone, so also he protected the man from the consuming aspect of his holiness by clothing him with righteousness. In the Garden of Eden, everything was in order. Everything was at peace. Everything was free from danger. It was paradise. But then came the pollution. I understand that modern day pollution is being blamed for much of the depletion of the Earth's ozone layer as industries billow toxins into the air. That shield from the sun's destructive power is diminishing. Well, to a much greater extent, it was the pollution that entered the Garden of Eden that utterly destroyed the protective state of righteousness. When Satan spewed forth his villainous lies to Eve, he did so for the purpose of destroying man's holiness, and he succeeded. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought spiritual pollution into the world, a pollution which tore into pieces the righteousness with which the Lord had crowned his creation. And the result was big trouble. If I understand the science that's in play, we would be completely destroyed if the Earth's ozone layer were totally eliminated. We would receive the full force of the sun's radiation and would not be able to survive it. Well, when sin entered the world, man's protective righteousness was completely destroyed, which means that the human race was exposed to the full force of God's judgment, a judgment that will be revealed when his Son reveals himself on the last day. Revelation speaks of how from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Now, nobody understands the destructive nature of God's judgment better than he. And fortunately, nobody has been more determined to rescue us from that judgment than he. And so he provided something to save us, to shield us, to protect us. Not just sunscreen for the skin, but a type of sunscreen that reaches much deeper than that, even though it is applied to the skin, which, when applied, has the ability to protect us from judgment. In Titus 3, it states, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." The Lord himself, in his great saving act, has directed us to apply this: water. But of course, not just simple water, water that is connected with the triune name of our Savior God, having placed in water and the Word the power to save. Paul calls the sacrament the washing of regeneration. It produces new life, a fresh spiritual start, a clean slate. He also speaks of baptism as the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel of baptism to create saving faith in us. Through the gospel of baptism, he conveys and communicates how Jesus, his Son, took all of our sins upon himself, paid for them, experienced the full wrath of God's anger for sin, and then delivered us from condemnation. And since baptism is used by the Holy Spirit to create faith, Peter says very simply, baptism now saves us. It protects us from the condemning rays of God's judgment by bringing us into fellowship with his perfect Son. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul says that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When God sees one of his baptized believers, he sees only the perfection of his Son. And the righteousness of Christ protects us from all punishment. It should be stated here that baptism is not an application which saves no matter what. If a person rejects the work of Christ on our behalf, then that person forfeits for himself or herself all the benefits of baptism. But all who have faith are invited to see in the sacrament the full assurance of forgiveness, full assurance of salvation, and full assurance of protection from divine destruction. Thank God, therefore, for his S-O-N, in whom you will never get burned, and in whose baptism we have protection from destruction and assurance of eternal fun in connection with that Son. The Son spoken of in Hymn 245, stanzas 1, 3, and 4, Hymn 245, 1, 3, and 4.